My name is Rachel Avery. I'm a member of AWOL. We're a direct action group in Kitchener-Waterloo in Ontario.
Yesterday, you drew up a banner in support of the Tamils?
Yes, we did. We dropped a banner over a big highway in Kitchener, and it declared, "Welcome Tamil Migrants." And we displayed this to oncoming rush hour traffic.
Can you talk about what is the Tamil situation in your point of view?
Yes, well, the Tamil population has been engaged in a conflict for almost 30 years with the government of Sri Lanka. There was a long civil war that was the Tamil population fighting for their sovereignty against the government. And the war was declared over last year when the Tamil population was sort of forced to accept defeat, but tensions have not been resolved, and their situation has not improved dramatically. There is still, in the last stage of the conflict, over 7,000 Tamil civilians killed, more thousands injured, 300,000 displaced, and many of these people are still living in camps. So Tamils have been forced to flee their homes to seek refuge in other countries, such as Canada.
You are talking about the shameful behavior. Can you explain what you mean?
For this vote, for some reason, Canada become clear that this is a time where they are using this as a test case to demonstrate how they would like to deal with refugees, unfortunately, into the future. And they're being blatantly racist in their handling, because we have detained these 490 refugees rather than giving them access to a safe haven and to the process that is due to refugee claimants. We've detained them, accused them of being terrorists without any grounds for these accusations, labeled them as human cargo, framing them in dehumanizing economic terms, and turning a lot of the population, unfortunately, against these refugee claimants because we are compromising the way that people are understanding the situation.
Some people call them terrorists. What do you think about that?
Yes, well, there have been, of course, accusations of war crimes and similar activities on the part of the Tamil Tigers, but also excessively accused. The Sri Lankan government has also been accused of egregious human rights violations and war crimes against the Tamil population. I mean, they have been involved in a war. Of course, war is not a peaceful event. It's a conflict. People are going to be using means that are not so desirable. But the people that have been fleeing have been largely civilians. That's who's been targeted by the Sri Lankan government. And we have no evidence to suggest that these are terrorists. The government's primary source on this matter has been discredited. He has very close ties to the Sri Lankan government, which have also been called into question, because that compromises, of course, his judgment on the issue.
How do you feel the fact that there's a conservative government in Canada right now affect the perception of the government?
Well, I think right now people are sort of failing to recognize the nature of the discourse around this issue as being so racist and so close to what neo-Nazi groups have been saying, including Paul Fromm and the Aryan Guard. And they've been calling for the deportation of these refugees in a similar manner to the government. And that needs to be recognized a lot more, that our government, which should not be sounding so much like a neo-Nazi institution, is. And we need to recognize that these policies are part of a broader agenda that is very racist, that is very anti-immigrant. And we need to recognize that this is part of our government's project, that we've seen immigration raids on the streets of Toronto, women's shelters being invaded, and these are all targeting of people of color, people in poor communities, and also increased targeting of those who are community organizers and activists, as we saw during the G20 demonstrations.
I'm not sure if I really understand what is the link that you are making between the arrestation in the G20 and the situation of the Tamils.
Well, we're sort of understanding this as a broader attack on anyone who poses a challenge to the system in place. And the system is colonial, it is racist, it is patriarchal, and it is currently being very aligned with white supremacist views. And so the G20 demonstrators were directly maintaining a challenge to the system through their actions. And there are many other people who their very existence poses a challenge to the system. And the Tamil refugees are doing just that, because people of color do not have the same place of superiority in the system where white supremacy is valued. And so they are a challenge to the dominant norms of our society. Similarly, other targeted communities have faced such attacks by this government as well.
You know, what is the relation between the Canadian government and the Sri Lanka?
Well, the Canadian government has been very supportive of the Sri Lankan government and has been listening to them for any information, which is an interesting parallel given that this is a struggle over sovereignty, because the MV Sensi docked in British Columbia, which is also land that Canada does not have treaty for. It is unceded Indigenous land. And so this is one colonial government who has been dismissing the land claims there because we do not hold treaty, but we still have continued to dictate what happens on this unceded land. And we've been listening to the Sri Lankan government and not the Tamil population, who has been fighting for their sovereignty. We've been treating them as less legitimate in their claims just because they don't have the official government at present. And that's a very troubling connection in that way, but it's something that needs to be highlighted.
So it's not a surprise in some way, you think, that the treatment that the Canadian government gives to the natives here, or particularly in BC, where the territory are unceded, and the treatment from the Sri Lanka against the Tamil is a bit similar.
Yes, I definitely think so, that those who challenge the dominant system here and in Sri Lanka are being persecuted. And so it really does fall well neatly into place in Canada's history of racism and ongoing colonialism, that we would similarly dismiss those in another country who are fighting against their government that they feel is not representing them and they want to be sovereign from in many cases.
So for you, the problem is more like the world problem of what is the agenda, what is the foundations of the Canadian government.
Yes, it is very troubling. I mean, of course, though, we need to pay attention to the details of this case, because both the details and the broader agenda are very important. Because in the specific case, there is absolutely no reason to be detaining these people, and they deserve to have the asylum that they are seeking here, and they deserve to go through the processes that our government itself has established for refugee claimants. The government is denying these people their own systems for refugees. And that, as an isolated incident, is very troubling, and it's more troubling to see it, though, as a trend that if this is used as a test case for how to handle refugees, it's going to make it worse for refugees who come seeking asylum here in the future. We have been decreasing the number of refugees we accept under Minister Jason Kenney, and he has been one of the most exclusionary ministers we've had to date.
Why?
He has been making it more difficult for refugees to come here, and we've been reducing the number take. Deportations have increased 50% under him, and this is just a trend that we hope will be reversed if another administration comes or if people can mount a serious enough challenge to this and confront these policies before they become too ingrained in the way our country is behaving.
What we can do against this?
Well, there are certainly a number of options depending on how you politically want to engage either with the system or against the system. There are certainly groups that are working to challenge the policies that have been put into place and try to get decisions reversed and try to get specific items on amendments to these legislations and to our Refugee Act changed. So those goals can use letter writing, they can use petitions, demonstrations at MP's office, and that's certainly something that's applicable to the specific incident and to broader policies. So contacting MPs, contacting ministers is a way certainly to get a change achieved in the government level. But I think very importantly, we need to be challenging the discourse around this issue, because the public discourse, the media discourse, has been blatantly racist. And so we need to, in our own communities, start having conversations about these terms and about how we are viewing fellow human beings who are just being described as garbage, literally. That is the language that is being used. And so I think we need to start in our community spaces and centers having discussions so people understand the situation and understand the language that is being used and how to challenge that and understand the issues more so these people are not being presumed guilty for solely their country of origin. I would just like to sort of reemphasize the need to challenge the discourse around this issue, because there are some similarities in the way that this discussion has happened and those discussions that happened around the policy and the ideas of reasonable accommodation. And both have involved a shocking amount of racism in how they homogenize perceptions of cultures and achieve simplistic caricatures of cultures. So accusations of terrorism here are sort of presuming that everyone from a culture is involved in the same way in their culture and in their struggle. And this is the epitome of racial prejudice. And these are presumptions that are completely unfounded and just add to hysteria and xenophobia. And if we don't confront these, we will see, I'm sure, an increase in xenophobia in the public sphere. And this is something that needs to be challenged. We need to remind people that, of course, every culture is going to be different within itself. We know within everyone within their own culture that they are not the same as everyone else from their culture. We need to remind people that we can't make such accusations because there is absolutely no basis to assume that everyone is going to be the same way.
If you people want to know more about your perspectives, your text, your communique, stuff like that, where they can go?
There are a number of statements, including one that members of AWOL, including myself, put out, that are all hosted on No One Is Illegal Vancouver's website. Our statement is hosted on peaceculture.org, and along with more information about the actions that we undertook yesterday. But again, I would also direct people to all the information on No One Is Illegal Vancouver's website, because they've been doing an excellent job of collecting statements from various groups, including the Canadian Tamil Congress, Vancouver Status of Women, and a number of other groups that are involved with these issues.